TanCast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
These conversations are raw, explicit,
and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Shall we sync up?
Sounds like a plan.
Not necessarily a good plan, but...
Two. One.
Cock!
Who are you talking to, Andy?
Tim. I said not necessarily a good plan.
Oh. You said it very quietly, so it sounded like you were saying it to, like, someone else in the room.
Yeah, I guess I was more muttering it under my breath. So mostly it was for my own benefit.
As are most of the things you say.
Yes.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
TanCast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb, an extremely obscure stand-up comedian. I started this podcast because I thought it might be interesting to find out what makes a comedian laugh. In my case, it's my two old roommates, Andy and Noah. They're not comedians, but they always used to make me laugh. But now we don't live together anymore. So, we decided we'd do this podcast every week and try and make each other laugh. And record it, so maybe we make a few of you laugh as well. This week, Noah goes backpacking, Andy deals with parenting issues, and I hate driving in San Francisco. And when you hear this sound... that means we've put a link to whatever we were just talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
TanCast.
Welcome to TanCast.
Motherfuckers.
I'm Tim, the T in TanCast.
I'm Andy, the A in TanCast.
I'm Noah, the N in TanCast.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't do it weird this week.
Yeah, you know, sometimes. You just gotta, you know, change up. Keep people guessing.
Yeah, I guess you do.
You know I was gonna do that.
Why, what he's gonna do?
I don't know.
That's why sometimes I just don't even come home. My wife's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm keeping you guessing.
That's why sometimes I fuck dudes. What are you doing? I'm keeping you guessing.
There are three shits on the floor. Guess which one is mine?
There is nothing more mysterious than a dump on the floor.
Oh, Dave Attell.
I miss him. I mean, he's still around, but you know, I don't hear as much of his stuff anymore. At least I don't.
He's doing some new show or something. He's doing something. He's doing fine.
He's doing all right.
Yay for Dave Attell.
He's off the sauce.
Was he on the sauce?
Yeah. Do you not remember the show Insomniac?
Well,
on Comedy Central?
Well, sure. I mean, I just didn't realize. I guess I was asking, was it a problem?
Well, it was a problem for him. Probably. Apparently it was affecting his health.
There you go.
As copious quantities of alcohol will do.
Oh, those copious quantities.
So copious. Such quantities.
Shall we do some tan laughs?
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, what Andy said.
Doing it.
The Angelo Bowers Memorial Tan Laugh Segment.
Guys, thank you so much. Hey guys, thank you so much.
Where do you go when you need jokes? Come to us, we've got ten laughs. Send in jokes every week to your mom at tancast.com.
All right, well, this one was sent in by Tiffany, who I'm pretty sure no longer listens, but we're still friends on Facebook. And she posted this joke on Facebook. And I was like, I'll use it as a tan laugh, and I'll mention her name, and maybe if she still listens, she'll comment. And likely, she won't.
Les si, lemu.
I'm like the kid at school who's just getting progressively less popular. No one will sit with us at lunch anymore.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're like the kid at school who's getting progressively less popular, but doing nothing to change his behavior.
Yep.
I started bathing 2 times a week, guys. Come on.
Nah, fuck that. That requires extra effort.
Why does no one like to smell my farts?
Eat a lot of chimichangas.
No one wants to talk about Mein Kampf with me.
Oh. It's okay, Tim. I know. The struggle is real.
Have either of you read the book?
No.
No.
I mean, is
it
supposed to be good?
I read for pleasure, much less like...
I don't want to hear about some madman bitching about how hard his struggle has been. Like, you know what? You're a fucking genocidal bastard. I'm pretty sure half that shit's in your head and the other half is your own fucking fault.
No, look.
Even if it's not, fuck you, because you wound up murdering literally millions of people. So I don't give a shit what you have to say about philosophy.
No, I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you think he has nothing good to say? Nothing of value?
I think whatever of value he has to say will be said by other people.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't think I need to delve through the shit Hitler shit nuggets to find out the piece of corn. I could just go get some corn.
Yeah, kind of the same reason why I don't stand around listening to street preachers. It's like occasionally they may say something great, like you should all be beautiful to each other, but after that it's going to be kill the fags.
All right, fair enough.
I think my analogy was way better. Yeah. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Okay.
It's not a competition, but I'm winning.
Okay.
Tim's winning. There's an imaginary competition that's not happening.
He's by winning.
Okay, good. As long as we're all straight on that.
Yes.
Now, to Tiffany's joke. She wrote, she just posted, this is the best joke of all time. Nothing else can beat it. 10 out of 10. How many tickles does it take to make a squid laugh?
Tentacle.
10 tickles.
Oh, we've done this one before.
Tentacles.
I think we didn't say that one before.
Well, the pickings are getting slim. I had to delve on someone else's Facebook just to get a camera.
I'm scraping the bottom of the bell here. Yo, I had to suck an old man's dick for this joke. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh. Let's make it worse. An old man's unwashed dick.
Yikes.
For how long? And where has it been before then?
I had to suck an old man's soft, unwashed dick.
Wait, does that make it worse if it's soft?
Yes, because nothing's happening. You're just sucking it for no reason.
Oh, so then you have to do it, and then you're shitty at it as well?
Yes. You have to sit there and think about your failure with a soft old dick in your mouth, unwashed.
I think I'd rather not be good at it.
No, take pride in your accomplishments. If you're going to do something, do it right.
At least there won't be any completion, right?
But that's like the pat on the back, the shot in the mouth.
But what if you don't want the pat on the back? What if you're like, do it too hard?
I'm going to go to somebody else next time. That's what you want to hear at the end. It's sort of like when your wife sends you out for groceries, you get all the wrong things so she never sends you again.
There you go. Oh, sorry, I fucked that up. Oh, I wasn't supposed to use my teeth. Whoops.
I wasn't supposed to use a cheese grater on the balls to make it saucy?
No.
Tim, that sounds painful.
Having hit my knuckles against many things and a cheese grater being among the absolute worst, I'm going to go ahead and say I don't want my balls anywhere near that noise.
But Andy, what if it's like amazing? What if it's this new sexual experience that you just never knew about? And you're like, oh, shit.
It's a sexual experience you can only have like once a month while you wait for the ball skin to grow back.
Oh, my.
That's going to grow back like all like, you know, ropey. And,
now,
and
Jim, which side would you use? Would you use a little smaller size, the bigger size, the little kind of zesty size?
Oh, the one for zesting lemons? That's got to be the tip right there. That's the way to do it.
Zest of my balls.
Not imagining somebody zesting someone's balls, singing, this is how we do it.
This is how we zest it.
You know what? When I've gone on like long hikes, my balls are very zesty by the end.
You should make them into a little pie.
Oh, nut funk.
We got the funk.
Why are we shedding listeners like a leper shed skin?
Or like a nutsack being grated by a cheese grater.
Oh, like a nutsack sheds zest.
It's good pasta. What'd you put in it? Nut zest.
Did you say pine nuts? No, nut zest.
I can't believe it's not nut zest.
Oh, vegan nut zest would be the worst.
No, vegan nut zest would be way better than the real thing.
No, because vegan shit always tastes worse than the original.
I don't care. No one's nuts were harmed in the making of this nut zest.
This is true. Cruelty-free vegan nut zest.
Hey, what if they're free-range nuts?
I'm sorry, Noah. I lost you. It was at my cruelty free. Everything I after that was a blur.
I just said, what if they're free range nuts, Tim?
Oh.
No.
Just because the nuts led a good life before they got zest, they still got zest. Zested? I don't know how to make that past tense.
And you guys got a tan laugh?
I got one from a long, long time ago, like 2 years. So we probably did this one already. But this one was sent in by Jonathan, and it's still sitting in my queue, so here we go. A middle-aged couple had two beautiful daughters, but had always talked about having a son. They decided to try one last time for the son they always wanted. The wife got pregnant and delivered a healthy baby boy. The joyful father rushed into the nursery to see his son. He was horrified at the ugliest child he had ever seen. He turned to his wife and said, "There is no way I can be the father of this baby. Look at the two beautiful daughters I fathered. Have you been fooling around behind my back?" The wife smiled sweetly and replied, "Not this time."
Oh, zingity ding dong, was it his kids? Oh shit, they're gonna divorce.
Cuckolding is hilarious.
Is that cuckolding?
Yes.
I always thought it was like the husband knew you were doing it, and like you were just the dominant one, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, now he knows. Okay. No, being the wronged party, being cheated on, makes you a cuckold.
Okay.
Now, some people have a fetish for it.
Got it. Okay. It's all become
cucking,
clear
I guess
now.
They call it. Yes.
Andy loves the cuckolding.
No, I love the cockholding. There's a subtle difference in pronunciation there, but an ocean of difference in meaning.
All right. I got a joke
for you. I guess
what
I'm saying is, I like to hold cocks while I zest the nuts.
Let it go.
No.
Let it go. Let it go. I don't know how the rest of the words go.
Definitely let that go.
Yes. Just like the tune. Drop it.
So this is Tyler. He says, "Been a while since I did a Yo Mama joke. Here you go. Your mama's
been a while."
Ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. "Your mama's so stupid. She played Five Nights at Freddy's. She stuffed herself into the suit. She even put it on backwards. That's how stupid she is." So if you play that game, you may know what that joke means.
Well, the whole point of the game is to try not to get stuffed into the suit. Of course, they also imply getting stuffed in the suit will kill you, so your mom is dead.
Yep.
Oh.
But
man,
backwards she's dead.
She's dumb and so, dead.
Yeah, she died ass first. That's just not a good way to die.
Never is. Never is. Ave email.
"Captain, incoming message.
You've got mail.
Message for you, son.
DeVille! DeVille is here!
A listener email?
Ooh. Yes. From Chris.
All right. I wanted the same one I had marked to read this week.
Yeah. I'm glad we all marked it. Sometimes we don't do that. Or sometimes we don't read it. Maybe we mark it and come back to it years later. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, guys. I don't know if this is his voice at all. I was wondering if I can get a shout out on the next show. Shout out.
Out.
Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. Let's come start again from coming out of the record. Play the record, okay?
This is a last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that's up-tempo and I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
What is this fucking ponderous, man? Ponderous, fucking ponderous.
You're doing it.
On May 26th, I'll be graduating high school. Yay! I've been listening since my freshman year back in August of 2011. Man, you should have been studying more. You guys have been welcome.
He made it.
Maybe made it barely. I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe he did awesome. Maybe we motivated him. Man, I don't want to be 38 years old doing a shitty podcast.
Just talking about how much better high school was? Fuck, those guys peaked early.
You guys have been a welcome source of entertainment while working on projects, during sports, or rehearsing plays. Thank you guys for the 4 years of laughter, and I'll be listening while up at college. Congratulations, Chris. I hope you're very successful in life.
You're doing it.
Tancast number 33, Disneyland fan.
Get it? Like Club 33?
Oh.
Gentlemen. Oh. Yes. Clever.
Navy SEALs.
But back to my original point. Gentlemen, we are destroying America's youth.
Are we? Are we helping them? Hey, kids, don't be like us. Do shit with your eyes. Oh, yeah. Right.
You know all those dreams you have? Promise of future possibilities? Well, fuck that. You're going to wind up old and bitter like us. Someday you're going to sit on your balls and wonder where the years went.
Oh, Andy's only one of us. Have you ever sat on your balls, Tim?
Nope.
Yeah, Andy's only one of us that sat on his balls.
I stopped sitting on my balls once I switched to boxer briefs from boxers.
I'm just saying you've done it.
The main... Yes, yes. When I used to wear boxers all the time, I did it on the regular because the little seam right in the middle, the nut cutter, it would wind up on one side of the sack, and when I'd sit down, it would grab and pull them under my thigh.
I think you just have really hangy balls.
It depends. Yeah. If they get warm enough, yes, they dangle.
Wait, they dangle when they get warmer?
Yeah. They want to escape my body heat.
Yeah, I want to escape this conversation.
you know this, right, Tim?
Too bad, Tim.
No.
Well, Tim, you're about to get your science on, Tim.
When it's really cold, they'll be really close to your body because they want to stay warm. Mm-hmm. And then when it's warmer, they hang away from your body because they want to get away from your body heat.
Let's try to regulate the reason, temperature. Yes, because optimal sperm production temperature is actually lower than your internal body temperature, which is why testicles are on the outside instead of on the inside, where it would make sense to put potentially the most sensitive fucking thing on your entire body. So it's like, well, we're giving you an off button, but on the flip side, you actually do get to make sperm and thus pass along your genes.
As long as we're talking about testicles, I wonder if any woman has ever given birth, realized in fact she was born a man, had the surgery, and had balls attached, and then kicked in the balls to be able to tell us which one hurts more.
I don't know.
Someone needs to do that research.
At that point, you're talking about somebody would have to be, they would have to be kind of like a chimera, because they would need to have functional ovaries producing eggs, and functional testicles. Either that or their ovaries would need to be like in a scrotum, which...
Well, how do they make testicles when someone goes from woman to man?
Kind of like nudicles for dogs. You know, when people get their dogs snipped, but they want them to walk around with the little, you know, silicone lumps.
Oh, okay, so they're fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no nerve endings or whatnot.
I mean, from the skin, I would imagine. Wouldn't there be, Andy?
Yes. Well, it's not like they take the ovaries out, irradiate them, and then put them back in the nutsack.
Irradiate them?
Yes, to stop them from producing eggs.
Ah. Okay.
Just pop them in the microwave, because you know what? Warm ovaries.
Then I guess we need a hermaphrodite who is fertile.
Yes.
And willing to be kicked in the balls.
I mean, isn't there a scientific way to measure that?
I would imagine that you would just be able to, like, you know, put somebody in a functional MRI and, you know, see how their brain explodes.
Yeah.
But don't these things vary from person to person?
They do. And
like your pain tolerance will determine how much your brain lights up?
Yes. Yeah. And they... there's actually a couple of different ways that they study pain tolerance. One of them is by pricking you with the stuff that makes peppers hot. Another one is by sticking your hand into a bowl of freezing water and seeing how long you can keep it there. Another one is like little electroshocks, and they measure your tolerance for that.
Navy SEALs.
Yes. Yeah, scientists are fucked up. They figured out all sorts of ways to scientifically torture people. It's like, hey, college students, you want to make $50? We're going to burn your balls.
We're going to zest them. For science!
Ball zesting for science.
Did I ever tell you guys? I don't know if I've ever told you guys that I had to have surgery twice to get my balls moved down.
You did. Kept trying to pop back up in.
Yep. They're like, no, I don't want to go down there. I don't know. That's what my balls
say. The world is scary.
We're so exposed.
It's cold out there. Keep us warm and near your heart.
It's cold and I don't know what time it is. Make me some tea.
That's Eddie Murphy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
It's so cold and I don't know what time it is. Make me some tea, honey.
Oh, Grandma.
Oh, Eddie.
All right, before we get to wandering too far in the woods, I know at least one of us had an interesting week, so we should get to... How the fuck was everyone's week?
How the fuck was everyone's week? Was it good times or was it bleak? We'll find out on our very next segment. How's your motherfucking week?
Well, my week should take second place. Go ahead, Noah.
Who had an interesting week? Did you, Tim?
You did.
What did I do?
Yeah, I didn't wipe my butt with a stick.
And leaves.
Your post just said a stick.
I know, but I mentioned later on the comments that it was leaves as well. So I went backpacking for the very first time, and it was amazing. So the whole program is to teach people how to lead youth onto backpacking trips and into nature. So the whole setup was, you go in and you're going to be role playing and you're going to be leading. So every day there's 12 of us, and each of us would take turns leading the group at some point. And then the instructors would also have some of us role play a particular scenario. Like maybe we were lost, like maybe we'd wander off, or maybe we were suffering from dehydration. There's also supposed to be some first aid thing, but because it snowed, rained, and hailed, sometimes all in one day, a lot of stuff we were supposed to do didn't happen.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it was...
Where the fuck were you that it was snowing?
Tahoe.
Wow.
Oh, I remember, like...
I mean, Tahoe's pretty high up, but it's May.
A coworker of mine was like, oh, yeah, we're going up to Tahoe, and I'm taking a day off work, and it also happens to be bike to work day, and it's going to be raining here and snowing there. It hasn't rained in a month. It rained on bike to work day.
People not from California should recognize that rain anytime between about May and September. Really, really few and fucking far between.
So
when it hits on bike to work day, you really appreciate your gigantic car.
Yes.
You're like, fuck,
bike just
to
like,
work.
Fuck all of you today.
Oh, remind me, I have a story about the city later, but go ahead,
okay.
Noah.
I was just going to say, so because like Friday was the worst, like everyone, we were walking and we got lost. Not lost, sometimes the path will change and you don't have the correct, like the map hasn't been updated. And so we're going and going and it just did not look like we were going the right direction. So we had to turn back. And we've been going downhill for a while, so we had to go back uphill, which is not very pleasant. And it was raining. So by the time we got back to a place where we could camp, a lot of us were pretty soaked. And so because mm-hmm. of that, we actually ended up heading back to the main camp, which was car camping. So you just drive up and you camp instead of kind of staying out in the backcountry. And when we finally got back to the place where you car camp, weather had been lovely. It had not been raining. As soon as we got back to our set of tents, nature's just like, fuck you, I'm going to hail now just while you set up your tents and then I'm going to stop.
Oh,
so it's just like hailing when tries to pretend. You're like, oh, nature's a dick. No, we didn't say that. I shat in the woods for the very first time in a hole that I dug.
That's which, answering the question, does a bear shit in the woods? Yes, he does.
Words of wise, you should start seeking out a spot long before you have to actually shit. Because nothing's worse than like when you have to go and you have to dig a hole first, or you have to find a spot 200 feet away from any water source or your camp. Like, fuck, this shit's urgent. Come on, hole. Why don't you dig yourself faster? And someone made a good suggestion that you should, whenever you get to camp, you should seek out, like, you should look around and find places that would be good and mark them mentally later. So, like, I'm like, oh, that'd be a good spot to shit later when you have to go. You know, walking around trying to find a spot. All the people I went with were amazing. A lot of them were already experienced in backpacking. So I think me and one other girl, this was like our first time. One other woman. I don't know. Is it sexist to call females girls? I'm not sure.
You guys, I kind of look at girl as like...
Sorry, you're cutting out a lot. And it's really hard for me to follow you.
Okay.
Cutting out a little less for me. But I kind of find it, you know, it's like, you know, girls and guys. Like I don't see calling an adult woman... I don't know. It's probably just in my brain, and probably women would be really pissed off that I do it this way. But it's just, you know, the alliteration of girls and guys, that it's fine for that to be adults. Like, if I call an adult woman a girl, I'm not, like, infantilizing her. It's just because I would call the dude standing next to her guy.
If Grammar Girl is okay with it.
Oh, is she?
Girl. Well,
her name is Grammar Girl.
Oh, duh. I just often find myself saying girl... and men, as opposed to girl and guy, or girl and boy.
I wouldn't do girl and men.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that just sounds awkward. Women and men.
Chicks and dudes? I do that one.
I guess I'm not, well, not when I say them together, but just like, if I say, I'm talking about a guy, maybe I'll say guy, I don't know. Anyways, One other female person, female body person, which is another thing people are saying a lot these days. It was also first time backpacking, and I would say it was just great experience. We all grew very close. We did a lot of exercises about being grateful. There's one exercise at the very end that made people cry. It was very touching, and you may want to try it someday. So you have two circles of people, people on the inner circle and people on the outer circle. People on the inner circle close their eyes, and the instructors will say, go touch someone who you learned something new about or who surprised you. And so you would go up without, the people on the outer circle will go up and touch those people without saying anything. And it was just kind of a way of giving someone a compliment, but they're probably not going to feel as comfortable because they can't really see who it is. I don't know, it's just very touching. Some people cried. It's just very beautiful. And I want to say I appreciate you guys, and I love you very much.
Aw. So get over here. Close your eyes. Let me touch you.
I'm not going to play that game with you, Andy.
Oh, did I just make it weird?
He's going to touch your balls. Make sure he doesn't have a cheese grater.
So, yeah. It was a great experience. It was tough. But, yeah, I want to do it again.
Very good. Look at Noah fucking bettering himself and shit.
I try.
You set a high bar for the rest of us, Noah. A high bar.
Do I?
Hey, man, I'm just lucky like I get home. another day in the coal mine, driving a long-ass distance, walking the door. It's like, I'm still alive, and now I don't want to deal with any of the rest of your shit.
Like most bars set for me, though, I will have no problem ignoring it. Look at that bar up there. I'm going to keep walking.
Limbo right under. Look, I didn't even touch the bar.
How low can you go? How low can you go?
Every week I discover that answer is lower. Lower than I thought. So speaking of balls, we had some ball-related drama at my house. Most recently, I got home, I think it was Friday night, and my wife immediately tells my son, show daddy your balls. Like, that's not how I want to be greeted when I get home. I don't know. This is not, something's wrong. Like, shit's gone off the rails if this is what's happening when I walk in the door. Well, he said that he had, I don't know if he had pinched it or if he'd like squeezed his legs together too hard or something like that, but he'd said that one of his balls hurt, and then I guess when my wife was checking him out, she didn't see two of them, and she was a little worried that we might have a little bit of a Noah situation on our hands and have to go get somebody to go pop one back into the sack. So immediately after working and then driving home on, it was Friday because it was fucking holiday weekend traffic that I was hitting coming home, which is worse than normal Friday fucking traffic. So I was fucking done with people. Then I find myself face to face with a little 6-year-old scrotum. I'm like, one, two, we're all good.
Both were there?
Yep, they were both there. No sign of purple or torsioning or anything else like that. As soon as the pants came down, they both rocketed up towards his body like, oh no, it's cold. I'm like, okay, so there's no twisting or anything. The little ligaments that make them dance up and down are still fine. I'm like, these balls get the stamp of approval. They're good balls. Put your pants back on. I'm going to go drink.
Heavily.
Does your child's balls scare you, Andy?
No. They're just balls, and I love him. I will check his balls out.
Are you saying you love his balls?
I do love his balls. And I mean that in the purest, most fatherly sense of the term. You know what I don't love, though? Is when Drew's having his first sleepover, and he gets his balls out in front of the kid that's sleeping over.
So I'm curious why he needed to be spanked for that.
It wasn't just that. So the first time he got his balls out, and, well, I mean, his whole, he ran out of the bathroom without his pants on. He's like, hey, look, and is waggling it all around.
That just sounds like fun.
No, I don't need 6-year-olds experimenting with each other's bodies just because they're out of range of school and fairly unmonitored. So they were up really, really late in the evening, and Caitlin and I threatened a couple of times to split them up. I told Caitlin we should set up the baby monitor just to watch the room and listen for shenanigans or whatever. But then they quieted down and everything seemed okay. And then found out later that he'd taken his balls back out. I guess they both had. So they both got in trouble. And then they were talking about it at school, which, you know, just ups that embarrassment level for the parents. But the embarrassment level for the parents is not really why he got spanked. It was the first time that he came out, I told him that what he was doing was extremely inappropriate. And I told him, I'm not messing around. I'm like, I will spank you if you do this again. Like, I don't like spanking you. It's been a long time since you've had a spanking for anything. But if you are inappropriate again like this with your friend, I will spank you. And then he went and did it again, because that's fucking how Drew lives his life, is I'm just going to do whatever the fuck pops into my little head anytime I fucking feel like it, and damn the consequences.
Because that's what freedom's all about. America.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in this little pocket of America, we live according to daddy's rules. And at that point, I had already told him, if you do this, you will get a spanking. So I had sort of...
Thanks, Daddy Obama.
Yeah, I'd sort of painted myself into that punishment corner. So it wasn't, you know, it didn't come home like, you know, furious or whatever. Like, oh, rage, must beat the child. But it was like, choices have consequences, dude. And I told you that if you choose to do this, this is going to be the consequence. So here comes the consequence. Later that evening, he was complaining. I think he hadn't done like a perfect job wiping at school or something like that. Which, you know, he's little. Every once in a while, stuff like that happens. So we'd sent him back in to wipe himself up again before bed. You know, to figure out if he needed to like hop in the shower or whatever. So I wasn't entirely sure that I was going to believe his, I'm all done now. So I went in there to, you know, wipe one more time and just make sure that the little wet wipe came back clean. And I saw my red handprint staring back up at me. I was like, this is not a great time in my life. Like I did that on purpose. I knew what I was doing. I knew it was a little tiny shave off my own soul doing this. But it was like him being yelled at, him being punished, that there have been plenty other things that we have done that are sort of nuclear options that have failed to get his attention. So spanking him remains the absolute, you know, far out end nuclear option that still gets his fucking attention. And I hate doing it. I hated getting spanked when I was a kid. I told myself I would never spank my own child when I grew up. I have grown up into my father, as we often do. So, I saw that red handprint staring back up at me. This is like hours later. This is like 2-3 hours later. And it was still... I mean, it wasn't like, you know, bruised or anything, but it was... It was distinct. I could make it out. He takes after his old man, so dude is pale.
Why did he still have his ass out hours later?
Well, no, this was when I was wiping. So hours later is when I was wiping him out. So I spanked him much earlier. And the red handprint was still there when he was going to bed.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah, so...
That may have sounded like judgment. It was just me confirming the facts.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So the other parents, there was some awkwardness with Caitlin having conversations with them. And the mother being like saying things about how she had been abused as a kid, and, you know, this activity, we should see who's been spending time with Drew and stuff like that. And I was like, or it's the fact that although this is uncomfortable for adults to talk about, children are also sexual beings. Now, they're not developed like adults are, but they're still curious about how their bodies work, how each other's bodies work. You know, kids are like all id, no superego. So like, leave kids alone and shit like this will happen without them, you know, having been sexualized by an adult.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're just like, I mean, you're discovering your body. And like, I mean, no one needs to teach a kid how to touch his penis.
No, believe me. Like,
oh, wait a second. This is not what I touch. Wait, this feels kind of good. I want to keep doing this.
Yeah, there were times where we had to retrieve a hand from a diaper. Like, we'd be changing him and be like, oh, we caught a hand in there. Let's... It was like, as soon as it hit air, he was like, what's this? Caitlin's like, oh, look at him. I'm like, yep, we've all been there. I was just there in the shower earlier.
Oh. Watch your toes.
Don't know how good my aim was. That might not be grout.
On the plus side, it gets rid of mildew really well.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. There's a lot of, like, you know, sugars and proteins in there.
I'm making shit up. I got facts.
Let's find out. Let's do science. Nut science.
So, I came on this tile, but I didn't come on this tile. Let's see what happens.
So Caitlin and I are trying to find a, you know, a good central line to walk where it's not like, you know, hey, you should be ashamed or anything like that, but it was just more of a, hey, you may think that it's a, you know, it would be a really fun idea to go sliding down the stairs on your stomach head first. That doesn't mean that just because you thought it seemed like a fun idea, you need to go do it. You need to recognize that there are certain things that you should not do because they're dangerous or they're not meant for children or they are inappropriate or they will get you in trouble. You know, it breaks a rule. Maybe you don't understand that rule, but whatever it is, you have to realize that choices have consequences, and good choices might have good consequences, but bad choices will oftentimes have bad consequences. So listen to that, high school kids, the shit you have to look forward to when you spawn your own. Probably shit you put your own parents through.
I mean, about that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think parents have a right, but also I think sometimes, like, I think just from my observation, sometimes we do the things not necessarily because we want to do them, because, like, they're the easiest thing to do. Like this is easy and effective. Like, it, yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I've shortcutted before. There have been times where it's like, Daddy, do you want to play with me? And I'm just, you know, fucking exhausted. I'm like, I can't. Here, play Star Wars. In the back of my mind, I was like, no, this is an opportunity to play with your kid that you're giving up. And but it's also like, yeah, but I'm also human. And it's not that I don't like him. It's not that I don't want to play with him. It's just I have a limit to how much of myself I can give. I have a limit to, you know, occasionally I need to recharge. Sometimes I'm so tired, I just need to go take a nap. And it's not like I'm trying to just avoid spending time with my kid. It's not like I'm trying to be an absentee father. It's just in this instance, I have to give myself permission and talk myself out of feeling like, are you ignoring your child? Are you not simulating him enough? Is he going to, you know, grow up to go find a sugar daddy that takes care of him like you never did?
Let him whip his penis out anytime he wants.
Yeah.
I think you're doing an excellent job, Andy.
I don't think I'm doing an excellent job. I think I'm doing as good of a job as I am capable of. I think in some places I'm doing a better job than my dad did. And I think that my dad did an infinitely better job than his dad did. Because his dad was, like, his dad lived there, but his dad was, you know, effectively like an absentee father. Like, there was no emotional connection, interaction with the kids. And then his dad also died when he was like 13. So there was no, like, you know, getting to know his dad as an adult and, you know, getting to understand his dad better or whatever. It was like his dad wasn't there for the kids. His dad just worked and then wanted to kind of be left alone when he got home. And then his dad was gone and there was no dad. So I know my dad really freaked out about that when he had two sons, of like not knowing how to be a father. I know he read a lot of books, and I remember mistakes he made, but I also remember all the, you know, the great advice that I got from him. So, you know, he wasn't perfect, but I am certainly not either. So I think I also have a newfound, you know, understanding for my dad. And he, I think, had it a lot worse than I did, because he did not have the guidance that he gave me for himself.
That's true of my dad as well. My dad didn't know his dad at all.
I didn't know my dad. That's all I got.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's because both my dad and Noah were black. So of course they did. Of course they didn't know their father.
But Tim, your dad was black too.
Yes, but I'm not black.
It's Tim's black what we as call Noah? Passing.
Ah, I see.
He's one of those house Negroes.
Yes, Noah came out a little more mocha chocolata than...
my mom was a white woman to keep the black man around.
Ah, I see.
Oh, wait, no, Noah's mom is white, so that doesn't work either.
Yes.
But just go back to being perfect. I mean, I don't think we have to be perfect. I think what's most important, though, is, like, I think you should always be open to, like, looking at things and saying, like, what could I do better? Like, I think it's bad to just kind of, like, just get set in your ways and, like, all right, this is how it's done, this is the way I've always done it, and so this is the way I'm going to stay. Just in general, like, not raising kids, but just in life. Like, I always want to be, like, looking and, like, all right, is this thinking the best way? Or should I be open to other ideas, you know, that could be better?
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be so open that, like, bullshit falls in, but you definitely want to be, I think, you know, not doubting yourself, but evaluating. That's probably the best word for it.
I mean, I think there's a difference between being open and just accepting anything that comes in. Like, I will listen to people. Yeah. Doesn't mean I will agree with them. But I think it's always important to, like, all right, let me hear what you have to say. You know, and maybe based on my experience, I can be like, well, I think that's bullshit. Or maybe you have a point or somewhere in between.
I like to skip to the, that's probably bullshit. It's just faster. It's just sleeker. It's a better design. Gets me to where I want to go quicker.
It does seem like you're optimizing a choice that often does not need to be made, Tim. I can't say that I fault that decision. Is this person super strident? Then this is probably bullshit.
You know, I feel like sometimes, even if someone sounds like crazy or full of shit, like sometimes you're like, you know, that one part, you have a bit of a point. Not always.
This gets back to the Mein Kampf thing of, you know, somebody else, somebody sane is going to make that same point.
Yeah. Like, I'll wait for someone who's not crazy to tell me about it.
Yeah. I mean, the whole consider the source thing, you know, the ad hominem attack is a popular way of, you know, like, oh, well, global warming can't be true because Al Gore is an asshole.
Well, so, and I think that is a problem with that argument. It's like, I don't think just because it's coming from someone, you know, that mostly did bad, like, they don't have a good idea. And sometimes, maybe someone else is not saying it.
Yeah, well, what I mean is, I know that whole... People like to be intellectually dishonest and pull shit like that. They like their logical fallacies, like ad hominem attacks, where they, you know, attack the messenger, not the message. But at the same time, if I am being given two different messages and one message is coming from somebody, let's stick to climate change. Let's say that one message is coming from 90-something% of the experts in the field, and the other message is coming from something in the, you know, low 1%. So the one message coming from a trustworthy group, the other message coming from a much smaller or less trustworthy group, before I even evaluate, you know, before I go out and try to fucking do science on my own, I think my default setting is going to be to trust the one that seems more trustworthy, that has shown in the past to be more trustworthy. So if it's politicians who are taking a bunch of money from industries that might be harmed by taking positive action against climate change versus scientists who actually study climate change, I think the people who are claiming, oh, well, the scientists are doing it for grant money, are out their fucking asses. I think I'm going to go ahead and take the expert opinion over the opinion of the people who are getting money from people who might not like the conclusions that the experts are drawing.
I'd say that's a safe way to do it, but I would say, like, there's misinformation on all sides, so it's good to be critical and do your research and not just accept what people are telling you just because most people are saying it.
While that is true, there are limits to how much research you can do as a layperson. At a certain
Sorry, go ahead.
So, like, if you're in a plane and the plane shakes around a bunch, the pilot gets on the intercom and says, nothing to worry about, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take the pilot at his word because he's been in a lot more planes than I have. He sees all the instrumentation I don't see. I know, like, if the plane keeps on shaking, maybe you start to think, is this really a line of bullshit? But well, the very sure, first time the thing shakes, I'm going to go ahead and just take the dude at his word because I lack the information, access, or experience to doubt him.
Well, but I don't know if that's a really great example because there's nothing you can do. Like, you can either choose to freak out or choose to accept it and just be calm. And maybe you're going to die either way, but, like, what are you going to do?
That's a good point.
You do to affect the outcome.
That was a less
great metaphor. With another example. No, why'd you do that?
I'm not coming up with another one.
I'm just saying my point is, even if the majority of people are saying one thing, does not always mean it's 100% true. So if you have the ability to do some research, just especially with things that do have a great effect, like, you know, playing example, not going to really matter. Global warming, there are things that we can do now that if we don't start doing, it's just going to make the problem even worse going forward.
Yeah. Well, and another good reason to look around is when you said, you know, majority of people. It may not be an actual majority of people. It just may be a majority of the people that you hang around with. Because we all get a bit tribal. We all tend to stick with people who look like us, sound like us, think like us. You know, Facebook friends tend to become an echo chamber. So if you hang out with a bunch of people who, toss around conspiracy theories about climate change or who think, oh, no, the plane's fine, whatever the case may be, it may seem like, oh, well, this is the consensus. So everybody thinks the same way that we do. So we're clearly fucking right. But it's not even just that it's a majority of of people out there or a majority of experts. It's just a majority of what you hear because you're inside your bubble. And everyone's got the bubbles, even me.
Oh, Christ, he's never done
it. No, that's it. Go.
Never mind. I was just going to make a joke anyway. Fuck.
Oh. Tim, trying to make a joke over the top of me being serious, talking about how I recognize
you.
I'm
trying to make a joke over the top of you droning on and on and on as the listeners drop away. Like, I wish they'd talk about nut shavings again.
Nope. This is the time of the podcast where Andy rants.
Nut zesting to, like,
global warming.
Climate change. But that's what people love us, Tim. We cover that. We cover all the bases.
Check your assumptions, and don't zest nuts.
See, Tim? People are learning every day.
Yep. They're learning. I could have done something better with this hour.
I could have zested my nuts, and I think that would have been a better use of this last hour. So, Tim, how the fuck was your week?
Tim, tell us something about the city.
Oh, I went to a birthday party in the city last weekend. Chrissy Field, you know where that is, right, Noah?
Oh, yeah, it's lovely.
It's right underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, or right next to the Golden Gate Bridge. However, getting to it, fuck your city. No wonder you don't have a car. Fuck that city.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in L.A. for 2 years, and that was some of the worst driving I've ever done. I'm like, wow. Like, my son's in the, my Michael's in the back, like, are we there yet? I'm like, amazingly enough, no.
Yeah, we should have parked 2 miles ago. We'd be there now.
I was just talking about this to someone else. Like, there, if you want to go anywhere near the Golden Gate Bridge, there's not a really quick and fast way to do it.
Nope.
But, you know, the person who is an engineer made a good point that, you know, when you put a freeway through the middle of a city, it will fuck up the city. Like, it will divide neighborhoods, lower property values. So that's the trade-off, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it won't make it like, you know, there won't be businesses because people are just passing through, right? They're not really stopping to buy things. They're just like, I'm going from here to there.
Yeah.
Still annoying.
Honestly, I mean, if they built a freeway to the Golden Gate, there would probably be like more people living in Marin and commuting across the Golden Gate.
It's so stupid. Like, that 101 just stops and becomes streets all the way through the city until it gets to the Golden Gate Bridge again.
Yeah. That's one thing, like, I keep reading about all the work that they're doing on the Presidio, where it's like, now this business is going to be in the Presidio. Now this business is going to be in the Presidio. I'm like, that business is not going to be able to hire from further south than, like, Burlingame. Like, fucking nobody from, you know, let's say, you know, somebody who moved to, like, Mountain View to be near Google, or, like, you know, moved to Palo Alto to be near Stanford or something like that. Nobody from that far down the peninsula is going to want to go all the way to the fucking Presidio to work there, because they hit the end of the 101, and then it's like, I'm just going to sit here forever.
Oh, by the way, you can't make a right turn here. Oh, can't make a left turn here. Oh, no, you can't make... No, there's no left turns.
No.
You want to make a left turn in San Francisco? You make 3 right turns. That's how that fucking works. However, if you've ever been to Chrissy Field, it's a lovely view where you get to see the Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz, and most of the city.
I have been there.
The Transamerica building and all that. Like, and I took a panoramic shot of it. Unfortunately, the city is so far away, it doesn't come out as well as it does when you're there. You're like, oh, that looks cool. And then you look at your picture. Way back there is the city.
What is this, a city for ants?
That's it. I hate driving in the city. I can see why Noah doesn't have a car. Fuck it.
I mean, yeah, even if I had a car, like, I never would drive within the city. It was just mostly to get out of the city. But yeah, just parking's kind of shitty. Like,
yep.
Kind of shitty. No. Mein Kampf is kind of shitty. Parking in San Francisco is a fucking atrocity. Atrocity. It's worse than zesting my nuts.
A couple of years ago, when I think I was going to my first Dreamforce, some people that I were going with are like, should we like rent a car for the week? Like, no. If you can't get there on the mass transit or by taxi, you don't fucking want to go.
Just sucks. That's where they put the Walt Disney Family Museum. I'm like, I'm never going there again. I'd rather wait in a line to go to Disneyland. It'd probably take me less time to drive to Disneyland.
You know what kind of sucks is they're putting in, I think it's BART, maybe it's Muni, but they're putting in that big expansion that's going up like Stockton Street, and up past the Financial District and into, I think it's Chinatown is, I think, where it ends. But, like, it's not going all the way to the North Beach. Like, it's just stopping a couple of miles south of that whole area where, you know, there's, like, all the piers and there's, like, there's more hotel space up there. And But, like, it's sort of like the little tiny touristy, like, enclave up at the North Beach that, like, fucking nothing else gets to. It's like you can drive through the city and take a fucking hour to get there and then just stay there when you're there. It's like, I don't know why they didn't just connect that all the way up. I mean, I'm not an urban planner, but it seems logical to me.
Fuck you, San Francisco. Fuck you right in your
I don't know.
Fucking Golden
I got
Bay
nothing.
Bridge.
Yeah. Your mass transit's good, not great.
Says the guy from Atlanta. Come on now.
Yeah, where mass transit is a brown people issue. Actually, mass transit
like for most part.
I just don't think it's going to
ever
get to.
So is your waistline. Called Andy fat for
joke.
A reason. Didn't need to do that. Nope. Never served no point in the discussion. Did it anyway.
Yep. Sometimes you gotta. You know what, Tim? Sometimes I earn that spanking. So, anything else fun, Tim?
Saw Avengers again. Still good.
I've only seen it the once. Oh, that was the other thing that happened. Shit. Yes. I mean, you guys know about this, but the listeners don't. So I took off the anniversary of the day that Caitlin and I met. And Caitlin and I were going to, you know, make a day of it. We were going to go watch the Avengers, and we were going to, you know, have like, you know, early dinner, just the two of us, and then pick Drew up from school. Just have the whole day just to ourselves. And we were literally on our way to go see the Avengers. And we had a call from Drew's school that he had he'd been playing soccer with a friend. They'd like both kicked the ball at the same time. They both fell, but Drew was facing a fence, so he went face first into this fence, and it like wrenched his head back around. And he was complaining about his head hurting and his neck hurting. So we called his doctor of, you know, hey, should we bring him in and get him checked out? And they're like, you need to go somewhere that can take x-rays, so go ahead and go to urgent care. And then we discovered that there's a limit to how urgent care is when they told us that there was about a two-hour wait to get seen. So it's like, he's not critical. He's not, like, you know, life-threatening. He's moving his head around and everything. You know, we're trying to keep him from swinging his head around. You know, I'm more worried about, you know, if there's, like, soft tissue damage or, you know, like he pulled something or whatever than I am about, you know, bulging discs or whatever from the way that he's moving.
Yeah.
So,
Bulging.
Tim, no.
So, luckily, they operate under the same theory that Outback Steakhouse does, where we put our names on a list and then left. And then came back when it was time. Like, they texted us, like the little, you know, your table's ready, buzzer going off.
I could go for a bloomin' onion right now.
Me too.
What about the damn potato soup? Delicious.
Yes. Yes.
Make your own no rules burger. That's them, right?
I don't know, is it?
Isn't that Outback?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Crikey.
No rules burger.
All right. I gotta go.
I also had a no just rules kidding. Burger. So, yeah, turns out he was okay. Just some whiplash. No signs of concussion or anything.
That'd been funny if Andy wrapped up the story. So, yeah, he's paralyzed now. Anyway, see you guys next week.
So we do have some pictures of him in a little neck brace, including one where he tucked his chin in and looked like Darth Vader coming out of the egg. Actually, no, it looked more like when when Luke took the helmet off at the end of Empire.
Yeah, I was like, you never see the front of his face.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw like it coming up on his cheeks and shit. But yeah, it really was. I mean, even from the front, it was a pretty good match. So if you want to know what my kid looks like with a neck brace on, watch Empire all the way at the end.
I just
Empire,
like,
the television show?
Yeah, yes.
I like when you're texting us about it and like, yo, Tim asked what happened. You said some joke. And then, like, Tim was like, my desire to care is solely, like, I can't remember what you said, but maybe laugh.
Tim's like, and I'm done listening to this or something like that. Or my,
wait, hang
I'm
on.
Done caring.
Yeah, I did. And my genuine concern has evaporated.
That's what it
something
was.
Like that.
I have no time for this shit.
Speaking of genuine concern, Noah stabbed himself yesterday.
Oh
yeah.
Yes, he did. Oh, my joke was I spanked him so hard his head popped off for a second and we had to glue the shit back on.
Oh, yes. It didn't need to be repeated.
And my genuine concern is past. Yes. That's what I said.
So, Noah, stabbing.
Yeah, I was just trying to unclog a glue bottle with a knife. Not very wise. Right before I stabbed my hand, I was like, oh, this can be dangerous. I can hurt myself. And then slip, stab, ow.
Oh.
It went.
kind of like when you were on the tree when I used to live with Holly. You were like, you were hanging on the tree. And you're like, oh, I think this branch is about to.
Oh, man, Holly was super mad about that shit, too.
She just didn't like me in general.
No, I know.
Yeah, she didn't like other people. She was Mormon.
And then he breaks a tree. And
is that true, Tim?
No, none of that is true. Well, I mean, she was Mormon, but she had no problem with colored people.
Okay.
It was just you. Saved it all for you.
Just you specifically.
And I just never understood, like, I mean, was it just that one time that I just didn't seem very helpful to her?
I have no idea. Maybe she could tell I loved you more than her.
She knew. She knew Noah would be the one that's still Tim's heart away.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think one time I just came looking for Tim. I didn't know where he was. And maybe I probably was not being very helpful. I don't know. I'm like,
maybe? Possibly?
I put as much effort in this conversation as I'm going to put.
What I love is that one of her chief complaints about her was like, well, you know, he just doesn't seem very motivated, and I think he's a bad influence on Tim. And like, now you're the one that's like, you're fucking like leading tomorrow's youth and backpacking and, you know, trying to identify, you know, which branch is safe to wipe your ass with and which one's going to, you know, pucker your butthole with poison ivy. And
corn lily is safe, by the way.
All right.
Exercising, eating right, traveling abroad.
I mean, I probably wasn't very motivated, but was Tim very motivated?
No, I don't think any of us were.
I was motivated to get the fuck away from her.
Yeah. You did a good job.
Burn.
Moved in with me. That's how far you sunk on that one.
What if she listens, Tim? What if she listens?
She doesn't listen to this shit.
Then I'm sorry. I am exaggerating this for the sake of humor. There you go. Disclaimer made.
Anyways. I also shaved off my beard. I mean, I still have the goatee, but my cheeks feel very naked now.
I wanted you to keep that big handlebar mustache.
I considered it. It was actually difficult to eat around.
Ah.
All right.
Well, I think we've done it.
Yeah.
This is gonna have to hold you for 2 weeks. Noah's out of town again next week, right?
Yep.
All right.
Oh, I saw Mad Max. It's good. Go see it.
All right.
Oh, okay. Bye. Yeah, everybody talks like Mad Max is like the best movie ever.
It's not the best movie ever. It's just good.
There were people at talking about like this may be the best film at Cannes.
Well, like all the reviews, like first of all, it's got like it's super positive on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like 98% or 99%.
Whoa.
And even the positive reviews are like not like, yeah, this is pretty good. They're like, this is really good.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure you guys heard the articles about like Charlize Theron.
Kicks ass in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because like it's almost like Mad Max is a supporting character. Like she almost feels like the star of the movie. And maybe she meant to be. But, I mean, it was interesting to have, like, you know, oftentimes, you know, we don't see, like, you know, a badass, you know, woman just taking care of some shit.
I mean, there's the Alien franchise, but, yeah, other examples are kind of hard to come by.
Or, I mean, and also, I mean, now it's more, if you do, it's often humor-based. Like, you know, who's that actress that's been doing a lot of, like, kind of, like, action-y comedy movies?
You're talking about Melissa McCarthy?
Yes. But yes. No, she's just... someone just kicks ass in this movie.
Yeah.
And just... It's a very nice world. Not nice, like, it's a shitty world. But they do a good job of creating this kind of world with all these different, you know, gangs and, like, their different characters. And just the world looks interesting. Yeah, it's just a good, like, action movie. I don't think it's, like, a masterpiece per se, but... I enjoyed it.
Well, people like it, but no one's really seeing it.
So go see it, people.
I have to say, I had no desire to see it. I now just, even after all this positive reviews, I barely have a desire to see it. Well, it was pissing off the men's rights activists. I'm like, well, that makes me kind of want to see it, but no, I don't want to see a movie just to piss off men's rights activists. And they're like, no, it's really amazing. I'm like, still going to rent it.
Oh, man. Is there anything fucking sadder in this world than men's rights activists? Probably. I mean, you know,
probably
like,
many things.
I was gonna say puppies born blind. That may be sadder.
I mean, I'm not a men's rights activist, but I do feel like there things have gotten so far to some extent. Like as a male, like it definitely often seem more creepy if you're interacting with a child that is not your own than is considered normal. And I feel like certain things like that, not that we need men's rights activists, but like things have gotten very far. Like a man can't just be like helping a child that's on his own and not be like, well, what's that guy up to? Like, what's he doing?
Yeah, but here's the thing is I have never heard of anybody referring to themselves as a man's rights activist that was not immediately identifiable as a fucking sexist bigot.
All right, fair enough.
It's kind of like, so on the one hand, the the people on Tumblr who are...
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry.
Who are calling every male, you know, every, you know, straight white cis male shitlord. On the one hand, that's fucking ridiculous. But on the other hand, anybody who actually says the phrase SJW for Social Justice Warrior, I'm pretty sure they're racist, sexist, or homophobic.
I've actually muted my mic so they can't hear me.
It's not the people,
but I want you, the listener, to know,
so
I thought we were about to wrap up the show, but I don't think we ever are.
Happily jumping into that bucket with each other.
Yep, still talking.
It seems like they're doing it because they think that they found something to be cover for them to say some really heinous shit.
Should I speed up his words so he gets this over with faster? I think it's probably a good idea.
Sexist? I'm a men's rights activist. No, I'm not racist. I'm a social justice warrior, and I'm a fucking white people.
Remember, never trust Andy to not go on a rant. Have a week.
This week I hate all those things I just said.
Tim?
You're doing it like some zestified nuts.
All right. Just to say bleeding and weeping.
Thank you for listening to this episode of TanCast. If you liked it, please tell your friends about it. Post about it on social media, your Twitters, your Facebooks, your MySpace if you're stuck in 2007. Subscribe to us on iTunes and maybe even write us a review on iTunes. If you prefer to get your podcast on Stitcher, don't worry, TanCast is there as well. Go to TanCast.com for all your TanCast needs. Leave comments on this episode. Read blogs whenever we get around to posting them. And you can find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Zazzle store. Thanks, as always, to DJ Technoid, who created the official TanCast theme, and big thanks to Angela, who created the official TanCast artwork. Alright, that's enough plugs. Time to end the show, but please, come back again next week! Please!
Yeah, but here's the thing, is I have never heard of anybody referring to themselves as a man's rights activist that was not immediately identifiable as a fucking sexist bigot. It's kind of like, so on the one hand, the people on Tumblr who are calling every male, straight white cis male shitlord, on the one hand, that's fucking ridiculous. But on the other hand, anybody who actually says the phrase SJW for Social Justice Warrior, I'm pretty sure they're racist, sexist, or homophobic, or all. Because it's not that people... So the people who are putting themselves in that pocket, the people who are happily jumping into that bucket with each other, it seems like they're doing it because they think that they found something to be cover for them to say some really heinous shit. Like, now they found a way to excuse it. No, I'm not sexist. I'm a men's rights activist. No, I'm not racist. I'm against the social justice warriors that are oppressing white people.
Oh, Christ.
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry.